Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. So please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. Today is Thursday, November 3rd. What you know about President Biden's speech last night that was sort of a final pitch to voters and how Republicans are responding. Also, the Fed's outlook for the future when it comes to interest rates and inflation. And two of America's largest pharmacies made a deal to settle thousands of lawsuits. We'll explain. Plus, how last night's World Series game made history. The new feature coming to Gmail to help you keep track of holiday packages. And how to get some freebies on National Sandwich Day. Those stories and much more news to know in today's episode. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Well, less than a week before Election Day, President Biden delivered a final message to voters. In somewhat of a last-minute surprise televised public speech, the president raised alarms about the collapse of democracy, as he called it. With midterm elections next Tuesday, Biden stressed the importance of this year's races. When it comes to the biggest dangers he sees for American democracy, Biden points to a growing list of candidates on the ballot who will not commit to accepting the results of the election if they lose. As Biden said, quote, "That is the path to chaos in America. It's unprecedented, it's unlawful, and it is un-American. You can't love your country only when you win," Biden said. Biden's speech was basically a closing argument for Democrats as they prepare for an uphill battle in the election next week. Control of Congress is up for grabs this election. Biden has warned about threats to democracy like this before, but with the actual election so close, his tone this time around was much sharper. Biden blamed the previous president, Donald Trump, for spreading divisions and anger in the country, along with more people denying the results of elections. But House Republican leader Kevin McCarthy said Biden is the one dividing the country with that speech instead of uniting it. The Republican National Committee called the speech desperate and said Biden and Democrats have lost touch with the concerns of struggling families. Regardless of who you agree with, it is worth noting again that multiple investigations and lawsuits have found no widespread fraud that would have changed the results of the 2020 presidential election. And at this point, there's no reason to think the midterms will be compromised. Election Day is November 8th. As expected, the U.S. Federal Reserve raised interest rates to their highest level since 2008. In the battle against inflation, the Fed hiked rates by another 0.75%. And that said, many analysts believe there is now light at the end of the interest rate tunnel. The Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, says they'll continue to raise rates in the near future, but will probably be doing so by smaller amounts. As for when they might stop raising rates altogether and go back down, Powell says it's still too soon to know. The Fed will have their next meeting in the middle of December, where once again, they'll have to decide if they're going to continue to raise rates and by how much. Tensions are rising with North Korea as the country just set a dangerous record. Officials say they fired off 23 ballistic missiles Wednesday. That's the most they've ever launched in a single day. These missile tests set off air raid sirens in South Korea and forced people into underground shelters. And about 24 hours later, North Korea fired at least three more. At least one of those caused a scare through northern Japan. The North even threatened to use nuclear weapons and said it's all in response to joint U.S.-South Korea military exercises. Well, the U.S. has condemned North Korea's actions. And if you are worried about war breaking out, most analysts are saying don't be. One told NBC News, North Korea's actions are mostly symbolic and are more for show than for military escalation. In another development, U.S. intelligence officials say North Korea has been making money by sending their deadly artillery shells to Russian forces. Experts believe it's a bad sign for Russia that they need to depend so much on other countries to keep their war efforts in Ukraine going. Meanwhile, a bright spot. Russia has rejoined the grain deal that allows the safe passage of millions of tons of grain and other agricultural products. And this is good news for millions of people around the world who depend on food from Ukraine. A familiar face is on his way back to power in Israel. Former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's political party came out strong in the recent Israeli elections, and that's put him on the path to regain his position leading the country. Netanyahu was ousted a year ago when a group of Israeli political parties secured a majority of votes and banded together against him, ending more than a decade of his leadership. This time around, however, it's Netanyahu's group that's back in the majority with voters. Even though Netanyahu is currently on trial facing corruption charges, it wasn't enough to discourage voters. His right-wing party got the most votes, and Netanyahu's main ally, a far-right religious party, made historic gains with voters. Netanyahu and his allies sold voters on growing Jewish national pride and cracking down on nearby Palestinians with tougher laws. Some analysts believe this will lead to more violence and fighting between the two groups. Netanyahu is expected to be appointed next week to try and form a government. Back in the U.S., the two largest pharmacy chains have agreed to pay billions of dollars in a landmark settlement over the opioid epidemic. CVS and Walgreens say they'll each pay about $5 billion to end thousands of lawsuits brought by various state and local governments that have blamed pharmacies for helping to fuel America's opioid crisis. Both companies say the settlements do not mean they admit to doing anything wrong. Walmart, with its pharmacy, is also said to be in talks for a deal. And these could be some of the last multi-billion dollar settlements over this issue. Remember, some of the biggest drug makers and distribution companies have already proposed or finalized settlements as well. In all, more than $50 billion is now set to go to state and local governments, as well as Native American tribes, to fight back against opioid addiction across the country. Separately, the broadcast network CBS and its former president Leslie Moonves will pay more than $30 million as part of an agreement with the New York Attorney General's office. It's all connected to an investigation that found the network and its executives hid accusations of sexual misconduct against Moonves. And then also, one executive is accused of insider trading, specifically selling millions of dollars of stock before those accusations against Moonves became public. A spokesperson for Paramount, which now owns CBS, said it's glad to resolve this matter without any liability or wrongdoing. Moonves was fired back in 2018. With Elon Musk as the new owner and CEO of Twitter, he's indicated before that some people who have been banned from the platform might be allowed back on. Well, now he's saying it'll be a while before any decisions about that are made. Musk announced that Twitter will not be bringing back anyone who has been kicked off until it sets up a clear process for doing that. And he says that'll be at least a few more weeks. That announcement came after Musk tweeted that he had met with a handful of civil rights leaders about how Twitter will, quote, continue to combat hate and harassment and enforce its election integrity policies. But other changes at the social media company are happening fast. Bloomberg is citing sources who say Musk plans to cut up to half of Twitter's workforce to drive down costs and that the company plans to tell affected staffers as soon as tomorrow. Meanwhile, Musk has indicated the company will start charging for verification, as in those little blue check marks. It'll apparently be part of a Twitter subscription, which Musk has now said will cost $8 a month. Stay tuned for more details. Gmail is offering a new tool to help keep track of all your packages just in time for the holiday season. The new feature apparently works by looking for emails that have tracking numbers. Then instead of having to open and click on your order confirmation emails or copy and paste that tracking number, you can instead view the expected delivery dates just below the email subject line in your inbox. It's an automated system that scans your email for this, so while no one will be actually reading your email, it could still spark some privacy concerns. Google says users will have a choice and be asked to opt in and allow the new feature if they want it. It'll be rolling out over the next few weeks and is said to work with most major shipping carriers. It's only the second time this has ever happened in World Series history. The Houston Astros pulled off a no-hitter last night, meaning the Philadelphia Phillies were not able to get a single hit for the entire game. The only other no-hitter during the World Series was a perfect game by Don Larsen of the New York Yankees against the Brooklyn Dodgers back in 1956. This time, it was a combined effort by Astros starter Christian Javier and three relievers. The final score was 5-0. The best-of-seven World Series is now tied up with two wins for each team. Game 5 is tonight in Philly. Today is National Sandwich Day, and the reason I'm telling you that is you can get some freebies or at least some discounts at a lot of major sandwich shops across the country today. For example, places like Popeyes and Potbelly are offering buy one, get one free sandwiches today if you order on the app or website. Rewards members can get discounts at places like Quiznos or get free delivery from Jersey Mike's Subs when you order on the app. Subway is giving away 10,000 free footlong subs, although there is a catch to that one. The deal is only for airline passengers who are stuck with a middle seat. You have to enter the sweepstakes before the end of this week with a photo of yourself in the middle seat, and you might get a Subway gift card. Well, that's it for the main news today, so now it's time for Thing to Know Thursday. But first, you may have noticed there wasn't a regular sponsor break in today's episode. That's partly because we say no to sponsors we don't think are a good enough fit to share here. And that means sometimes we don't have a sponsor at all. That's why we rely on listeners like you to help fill those gaps and make sure we aren't overly reliant on ads to do this show every day. If you want to support the work we do here and get ad-free episodes as a thank you every day, become a Newsworthy Insider. You can learn more and sign up for a 7-day free trial at thenewsworthy.com/insider. That's thenewsworthy.com/insider. Thank you so much for being here, for making us part of your day, and if it makes sense for you, supporting our work. Okay, now back to Thing to Know Thursday. And today's thing to know, ahead of next week's election, is that it is normal to not know all of the official results on election night. Here are a couple of the reasons why. First, elections in the U.S. involve so many different races, from Congress all the way down to local measures and town council seats. So there's a lot to go through. That's compared to some other countries where voters might simply back a party whose leadership then gets to pick many of the other positions, which simplifies the voting process. Second, in the U.S., it's decentralized, meaning each region has different election rules. For example, some states give local election offices several weeks before Election Day to start processing any ballots that were mailed in early, while other states don't allow any processing to start until Election Day itself, meaning it'll take more time to make sure every vote is counted. The Bipartisan Policy Center told Politico that time between the end of voting and the release of unofficial results is, quote, one of the most precarious time periods for the spread of election myths and disinformation, saying when the public feels uncertain, they may be more willing to believe claims of fraud even if there's no evidence of it. It's also worth noting that even when media or others call a race that night and declare a winner, results aren't actually official until they are certified, which happens days or weeks after Election Day in many states, especially for close races. All right, thank you so much again for listening today. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.